Chapter 5. A Short Meeting. The next morning, Michael woke up in hospital. His jaw had been fixed together with wire, and four of his teeth were missing. Hagen was sitting next to his bed.
"I guess they had to operate. Is there anything wrong with me except my jaw?"
Michael asked sleepily.
"No," said Hagen. "Sonny wants you out at the Long Beach house. Think you can make it?"
"Sure," Michael said. As Clemenza drove them, Hagen spoke quietly.
"We found out that Captain McCluskey has been taking bribes since he started in the police. Our family has paid him quite a bit over the years, but Salazzo must have paid him a lot more. It was McCluskey who called the guards off of the Don's door. Sonny had Tatalia's son, Bruno Tatalia, taken care of at 4 o'clock this morning to make things even, and he's made a list of others to kill. You need to talk to Sonny, Mike. This thing can still be worked out without a major war."
"I'll talk to him," Michael said. "Is there a meeting this morning?"
"Yes," Hagen said. "Salazzo wants to talk to us about a proposal. A negotiator is arranging the details. After Bruno Tatalia's death, Salazzo must know we intend to get our revenge and is trying to get out with his life. It was a big gamble to try to kill the Don."
Michael, Sonny, Hagen, Tessio, and Clemenza were all sitting in the Don's office.
"We got a call from the negotiator while you were gone," Sonny said to Hagen. "Salazzo wants a meeting straight away." I said, "Sure, why not? I've got 100 men out looking for him. If he shows one hair on his head, he's dead."
"Does he have a definite proposal for us?" asked Hagen.
"Yes," replied Sonny. "He wants to meet with Mike because he thinks he's not dangerous. The negotiator guarantees Mike's safety. Salazzo's people will pick Mike up and take him to a secret meeting place. The promise is the proposal will be so good that we can't refuse it. The Tatalia family has agreed to work with Salazzo. They say they'll forget about Bruno. He pays for what they did to my father." Sonny laughed. "I want one thing only. Salazzo dead."
"The other families won't want a war," Hagen said. "It'll make everything difficult for everyone."
Michael spoke for the first time. "Can the old man be moved out of the hospital onto the mall here?" Hagen shook his head.
"That's the first thing I asked. It's impossible. He's too sick."
"Then you have to kill Salazzo immediately," Michael said. "We can't put it off. The guy is too dangerous. Let's ask for a meeting with Salazzo, McCluskey, and me 2 days from now. Salazzo would never believe we'd kill him with a police captain there. But after we do it, we let it be known that McCluskey was being paid by Salazzo and was involved in drugs. That way, we stop the police from coming after us. We need to find out where the meeting will be held. I don't care how much it costs. And somehow get a gun in there. Then, I'll take care of both of them." All four heads turned to him. Clemenza and Tessio were amazed. Hagen looked a little sad, but not surprised. But Sonny started to laugh. He pointed a finger at Michael.
"You, the college kid? You never wanted to get involved in family business. Now you want to kill a police captain and Salazzo just because you got your jaw broken?"
Michael stood up. "You'd better stop laughing," he said. And the change in him was so extraordinary that everyone froze. Although he was not tall or particularly strong, there was a sudden feeling of danger around Michael. He looked and sounded just like the Don. Sonny stopped laughing.
I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at how funny things are, he explained. I always said you were the toughest one in the family. Tougher than the Don himself. I remember how furious you always were as a kid. Salazzo thinks you're soft because you let McCluskey hit you and didn't fight back. But you really are a Corleone. And I was the only one who knew it.
2 days later, Michael Corleone sat in a car on Broadway next to a driver he did not know. In the back were Captain McCluskey and Salazzo, who reached a hand over the back of the seat, and Michael shook it.
I'm glad you came, Mike, Salazzo said. This isn't the way I wanted things to happen at all. Just keep an open mind while we talk. I hope you're not a hothead like your brother Sonny. It's impossible to talk business with him.
He's a good kid. He's all right, McCluskey said. I'm sorry about the other night, Mike. I'm getting too old for my job. I lose my temper too easily.
Then he quickly moved his hands over Michael, checking carefully for a weapon. The driver drove on to the George Washington Bridge to go out of New York City, then immediately turned and sped back into the city. Both McCluskey and Salazzo were staring out the back window. The next moment, they were speeding into the East Bronx. They went through several side streets to make sure there were no cars behind them, and then, 10 minutes later, came to a stop in front of an Italian restaurant. The three of them entered and sat at the only round table in the restaurant. There were two other people eating there. They ordered food, and the waiter brought a bottle of wine to the table and poured 3 glasses. Then Salazzo began to talk quickly to Michael in Sicilian.
You must understand that what happened between me and your father was just business, he explained. I have great respect for Don Corleone, but he has old ideas. He stands in the way of progress. The business that I'm in is the coming thing. There are millions of dollars for everyone to make. Your father says, go ahead, it's your business, but we both know this is not possible. We must step on each other's feet. What he's really telling me is that I cannot operate my business. Let me tell you that I have the silent support of all the New York families, and the Tattaglia family are my partners. If this argument continues, then the Corleone family will stand alone against everyone. So, I propose a peace deal. Let's stop the fighting until your father is well and can make serious decisions again.
Michael said in Sicilian, Tell me more about how you propose to start your business and what profit my family can make from it. And most importantly, I must be sure that you will not try to kill my father again. But Michael was sure now that the meeting was only to gain a few days' time, and that Salazzo thought he was a stupid kid and would soon try to kill the Don again. It was time to do something. He could not put it off any longer. Michael moved uncomfortably in his chair.
What is it?
Asked Salazzo.
That wine has gone right through me. Is it all right if I go to the bathroom?
Salazzo searched Michael's face with tension in his dark eyes. He did not have a reason. He just did not like it. He reached under the table and roughly pushed his hand between Michael's legs, searching for a gun.
"It's okay," McCluskey said impatiently. "I've searched him. I've searched thousands of kids like him. He's clean."
"Don't take too long,"
Salazzo said nervously. Michael got up and went into the bathroom. He reached behind the only toilet and found a small gun stuck to it with tape, where Clemenza had arranged for it to be left. When Michael came out, Salazzo was sitting facing the door of the bathroom, watching nervously. Michael smiled. "Now I can talk," he said. Captain McCluskey was eating a plate of pasta. Michael sat down again. His legs felt weak. Salazzo was talking to him, but Michael could not understand a word he was saying. Underneath the table, his right hand moved to the gun and pulled it free from his pocket. At that moment, the waiter came to take their order, and Salazzo turned his head to speak to him. Michael pushed the table hard away from him, into Salazzo, then put the gun against Salazzo's head and fired it. The bullet caught Salazzo between his eye and his ear. He saw the life die in the man's eyes, like a candle going out. Then, Michael immediately turned round to point the gun at McCluskey. The police captain was staring at Salazzo with surprise, as if this had nothing to do with him. The first bullet caught McCluskey in the throat, and he began to cough out blood. The second bullet went through the top of his white-haired head. The air was full of pink mist. The waiter was falling back toward the kitchen, staring at Michael in disbelief as the other two people in the restaurant watched in silent shock. Michael dropped the gun, then walked calmly to the door as a car pulled up with Tessio at the wheel. Michael jumped in, and the car sped away. 2 hours later, Michael was on a ship heading away from New York Harbor. He was on his way to Sicily.